Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Camp meeting's over. Yeah, here we are at another service. And it seems that for whatever reason, I tend to have these right after major Sunday after winter Bible, you know, Easter Sunday night, those types. I just tend to get those because I don't know why. It just seems they say it's not on purpose. But I think maybe because I promise I'll do an hour of power and we'll be good to go. So, praise the Lord. I want you to turn, if you got your Bible, to Mark chapter 4. You know, one of the interesting things, characteristics of our, you know, since I came into the things of God, really, well, grew up in church, but in 1980, 35 years ago, hard to believe that's 35 years ago, but 35 years ago when I got born again, filled with the Spirit of God, you know, outside of the church we were attending, one of the things that became part of our life was conferences. I mean, we go everywhere. I mean, Full Gospel Businessmen conferences. I remember growing up in Central Illinois, we came down here for camp meeting. I remember here in 81 and 82 for camp meeting at summers and in 82, then after that, was here to go to school. But we'd drive all over for, you know, different teaching and conferences such as that. And, oh, you're just so blessed by the word that you heard. And one of the things that found important over these years, and I was reminded of it again here, I thought the teaching was just some of the best that we've had here at camp meeting this last week. And obviously, if you weren't able to be here, you can get the CDs, MP3s, or DVDs, whatever you want. But realize this, that it seemed one of the things that you noticed over the years was, how do I keep this? How do I not let this wane? Because we have an enemy, I'm telling you, that wants that word to not take root in your heart and in your life. And so tonight I just wanted to share just briefly tonight how to keep hold of what the word that God is giving. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. How to keep hold of the word that that God has given you. Praise the Lord. I'm going to be reading from I call it my own King James Version, because I tend to take the these and thous out as I go along, but I am reading from the King James here, and so it'll be up on the screen that way. I'm going to read starting in verse 14. Here Jesus is explaining this parable to his disciples, and he had said to them previously that if you can understand this, you can understand everything. This is how the kingdom, this is how things work. And this is a parable that will help us understand all of his parables and teachings. So Mark chapter 4, verse 14. The sower sows the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they have heard, Satan comes immediately to takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now, in looking at this, it's obvious to me, if you go down through here, that the subject of this passage and his teaching is the Word of God. Now, to me, that's number one. And I know some have taken this and they want to talk about the soil, you know, and that type of thing. But if you go through here, more than anything, what's mentioned is the Word of God. The sower sows the Word. And so tonight, as we're looking at the Word, I mean, we read that, and there's the potential is there tonight for the Word of God that's shared in this place to be sown into your life and into your heart, to your spirit. And notice that what it says concerning that Satan, in verse 15, comes immediately. Tell your neighbor, Satan comes immediately. Satan comes immediately. Now why? Because of that word that's been sown in your heart. Evidently, he knows something. Now we know that, you know, he's not wise, but he is crafty. If he was wise, he'd realize he could never defeat God. Yet he's trying to. And I think, you know, he is deceived because he is a liar and the father of all lies. And he thinks he's going to win, but he's not going to win, right? We know, have you read the end of the book? We win, right? But he does know this. If he can stop the word of God from taking root and bearing fruit in the life of a Christian, he can control and ultimately defeat that Christian and that person. I mean, if you go throughout church history, from the time that the disciples received the Spirit of God and then Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, and you had that multitude there, 3,000 got saved there that day, and then later on 5,000. I mean, they were having great success, but then, you know, they kind of got comfortable in Jerusalem, then persecution, then they went out and did everywhere. Remember, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. The what? That's the word of God. See, because that word that's the seed that's sown, it's the word of God that's going to produce results in your life. And so he knows this, that if he can steal that word, take away the word that's sown in your heart, then he's going to be able to control us. He's going to be able to keep us from having, if you will, less than what God accomplished through the Lord Jesus Christ, through his death, burial, and resurrection, and seating at the right hand of God. And I know for years, growing up in church, I never heard any of that. That word was shut up, if you will. But you check throughout church history, from that time, eventually, when the devil was able to get people, the Christians, off of the word of God, from preaching the word. And you know, for centuries, hundreds and hundreds of years, the word of God was not even preached in the language that the people spoke. It was preached in language they didn't understand it. The Bible was not in the language of the people. And it ushered into what we call in history the Dark Ages. But thank God, there's always been a remnant. And thank God for Martin Luther and some of those folks that in that day that got a hold of the word of God and started acting on the word of God and thought, you know, this isn't just for me. This isn't just for us and our shut up. This word's for everybody. And the printing press, you know, came into being, and not the first thing ever printed, but the printing press came into being, and Bibles were able, the word of God able to be produced in the language of people that they could read and understand. Thank God. But that doesn't mean the devil is just going to quit. How many of you found that out about the devil? One thing about him, he is persistent. He'll leave, but he's going to come back. I'll guarantee you that. But he's defeated, so that's all right. But he said, these are they that are sown by the wayside. Satan comes immediately. Now, another characteristic that you'll notice in all of these, every one of these heard the word. Every one of them heard it. Now, if you can't get it immediately, you know, I heard someone say once, if you want to have opportunity to pray for the sick in your church, start preaching on healing. People will get sick. You look at me like, oh, now come on, that's a bad confession. I'm telling you. Because why do we know about today? The devil, now is healing part of our covenant today? Absolutely. But the devil doesn't want you to know that. He wants to keep you sick. Because if you're sick, he can control your life. You realize this sickness, tries to tell you what you can do, where you can spend your money, and where you can go minister. If you're sick, you know. But thank God by Jesus' stripes we're healed. But that doesn't mean Satan's just going to let you live in health. He's going to try to keep you. And so we want to look at, I mean, he mentioned some things here, some of the things that from here, but I want to go to a couple other places in the New Testament today. But just in looking down through this, in verse 17, he mentions two things, affliction and persecution that arise for the word's sake. How many of you have ever had someone that maybe you love and maybe you kind of respect, but have warned you, don't lose your mind over the Bible? Or watch that. Be careful, you know. First of all, yes, I want to lose my mind in the Bible. I want the mind of Christ. This mind, I know what it can do. You understand that. But I mean, people, well, they're not trying to be used of the devil, but you know, sometimes good folks yield themselves, try to talk you out of believing the word of God. I know, I'm looking around here, I know a lot of you in here have come to school to go to Rhema, and you're here, and I'll guarantee you at least one person probably told you, you know, what are you doing? Try to talk you out of what God's called. You know, and you have to be careful sharing with people what God's called you to do. Amen. Because why? Affliction and persecution. That does, you know, sometimes we think of that coming, but mainly that comes from people that you know. I could care less what people don't know me say about me. Because if they knew me, they'd love me. Same thing's true about you, right? The only reason people don't like you, they don't know you. If they knew you, well, they'd like you. Praise the Lord. All right? But that comes, then he mentions a couple other things in verse 19. These things are distractions. He says the cares of this world. Anybody have the world try to steal your time? Right? How many of you, well, we're in this world, right? So we got it, but the cares of this world, the worries of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, money issues, the lust of other things entering in. What's it do? It chokes the word. All of those things come so that the word is unfruitful. But if we can hang on to the word of God, act on the word of God, receive it, let it grow, it's going to produce 30, 60, 100-fold. Glory to God. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Now we're saying these things. We're not talking about these things to make us be afraid of the devil or anything like that. He's defeated, but we have to enforce his defeat. Right? You know, in one sense, we are an occupation force here in the earth. God, Jesus has left us here to occupy till he comes and to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. Begin in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not. Now stop real quick. Notice it said if. It didn't say if. It said we wrestle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Look at your neighbor. Tell him you're not my enemy. Look at your other neighbor. Tell him you're not my enemy either. See, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. And then he mentions, you know, the different pieces of the armor, making reference to the armor that to that point, the greatest army that they knew anything of, the Roman soldier. This is parallel to him. But then if you read through this, you get the idea here that every piece of this armor is connected to the word of God. Not only is Satan trying to steal the word, if he can keep you out of the word, he'll keep you from being protected and having on your armor, the full armor of God. And so he says, having your loins girt about with truth. Well, Jesus is the truth. Jesus, the word made flesh. God's word is truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Well, it's in the gospel, the word of God, that our righteousness is revealed. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. See, we're supposed to be wearing the word of God as gospel shoes, if you will. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Where's faith come from? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation. Paul said in Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. See that helmet. And then he says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now what is that sword? That's the word of God spoken out of your mouth, my mouth, out of the mouth of the Christian. It becomes a sword. Not against one another. We're not wrestling with one another. I'm not using the word of God against you. I'm using the word of God against my enemy, these principalities, these powers, these rulers of darkness and wickedness in high places. And in so doing, and having on the armor. Now, let's not make light of prayer. Prayer is part of that armor too, all right? He says in verse 11 up there, against the wiles of the devil. In verse 13, withstand in the evil day. And in verse 16, be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, what are these? are these things? What does the devil use? What is his number one device? And in fact, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 with me. What is his number one device that he's going to use to try to steal the word from us, to try to take that word that we've heard, that wonderful word that was preached all week here at camp meeting this last week, the wonderful word that you've heard, you know, as you've been part of Rhema Bible Church or wherever you're from, but you know, you're here now, that word that you've read in these anointed books, that word you've read from the book, from the word of God yourself, what is it he's going to try to use against us to keep us from being fruitful in that word? And the number one thing that he's going to use are thoughts, ideas, and suggestions that are contrary to God's word. He's going to try to, first of all, talk you out of it. Try to talk you out of it. Now, let me ask, how many of you in here, you got born again, but you weren't real sure about that tongues thing? Let me see your hands. And it might have taken you a while until you understood it, right? But you had all kinds of what? Questions. You had thoughts, ideas, and suggestions that were contrary to the word of God, and it kept you from receiving the blessing and walking in the fruit of the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Same thing happens in the area of healing. Same things happen, in the area of prosperity, if you will. In any area of life, if you think about it, okay? Now, 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11, he says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant, or ignorant, as we said in the South, ignorant. I'm sorry, that's how I say it. I had to make myself say ignorant. Ignorant of his devices. Now, I thought that was interesting, that word devices. I had never really done much study into it, but I did earlier as I was, I want the history, not that, thank you. Okay. Oh, here we go. The word devices here, the Spirit of God on the inside of me said, you got to look that word up. And I looked it up in the Strong's Concordance, and it means this. It means, now this isn't how it's translated. This is the actual definition. It means, the word devices here means a perception. That is purpose. Or by implication of the intellect, the disposition itself, his devices. Notice how that has to do with our thought life, our intellect. It's his purpose. We're not ignorant of Satan's thoughts and his devices, his purpose, you see. Now, if you ever study battle strategy and, you know, if you like to look into all that, one of the things that really helps is to understand what the enemy is going to do. Okay, when you understand what the enemy's going to do, and you know, let's just talk about athletic sports. You know, colleges, universities, and professional teams spend millions and millions, if not billions of dollars a year scouting the other team. To know what? What are the tendencies of that other team? In this situation, what are they going to do? They do it, you know, I like to watch because of the strategy. I realize it's not a fast-paced game, but I like to watch baseball. It's one of my favorite sports. It's not a fast-paced game, but, you know, good way to burn 2-3 hours sometimes. But these managers, they have books and books and books of tendencies in there, and they know, all right, who's on that bench over there, and who have I got left? And they'll start doing matchups to try to get the best matchup possible for their team. What? They're knowing the other team's devices. Now, an interesting thing with that, the root word for this word that's translated devices, and I'm going to, it means this. It means to exercise the mind. That is to comprehend, to heed. An exercise of the mind. So I submit to you that the way that the devil is going to come and try to steal the word that's been sown in our heart, first and foremost, are with these thoughts, ideas, and suggestions that are contrary to God's word. Now, we see a perfect example of that in what happened with Jesus as he went into the wilderness. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Let's begin with verse number one here. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost. How many full of the Holy Ghost folks we got in here tonight? Amen. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit. Any of you ever been led by the Spirit? Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Yeah. Is that you, Lord? Being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, now I want you to notice this. If, everybody say if. Got your Bible, you ought to underline that or circle it. If you be the Son of God, command that this stone, that it be made bread. Now, one of the things, that let's tie this with Satan comes immediately here. Jesus, before this 40 days in the wilderness, the last thing we see him doing is being baptized by John in the Jordan River. And what happened then? Remember, the Spirit of God descended like a dove upon him, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son." Now notice the first question, the first thing that Satan says to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God." What's he? It's a thought. It's an idea. It's a suggestion that's contrary to what God's word said, what God had already said. If you be the Son of God, command this stone that be made bread. Jesus answered him saying, "It is written." Amen. See, now there's your key. There's our key right there. That's what we're looking for here. What was the weaponry? What was it that Jesus used? Well, he used that sword of the Spirit. He used the word of God. He said, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." That word, translated word there in the Greek, is the word rhema. But by every rhema of God, you see. See here, now, even in what Jesus said, do you see the importance of the word? We can live by this word. Well, if Satan steals it, then what's the quality of your life going to be? You understand why he's after it so much? And the devil, taking him up in the high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment. And the devil said unto him, "All this power I will give you, and glory of them, for it is delivered unto me." Well, it was delivered unto him when? In the garden. And quite honestly, if you go back and read Genesis chapter 3, what did the devil do? He questioned God's word. Has God really said? He questioned God's word. Just like he's doing here, just like he does with you today. And the devil, he said, "For it is delivered unto me that whomsoever I will, I give it. If," there's that word again, "if you will therefore worship me, it shall be thine," or yours. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Now I will bring the very word, oh thank you Lord, the very word that Satan's trying to steal is what you need to put in your mouth to run him off. I don't know what it is you heard this week. I heard some wonderful things this week. I mean, there was some outstanding revelation that came forward. I don't know if it was Don Duncan or not, but he was talking about sailing and how the wind and the waves are there. If you know how to use the wind, that wind and the waves is what's going to propel you forward at a speed greater than the engines, the two big diesel engines there on that boat he was sailing. He said, could take you the wind and the waves. But if you don't know how to use them correctly, if you don't work with it correctly, it'll bring you to a stop. But I'm telling you, the wind and the waves that the devil means to stop you is the very fuel that you need to go to your next destination. But you're going to have to do it based on the word of God. Jesus said, "It is written." Verse 9, and he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said, "If you be," here he questions three times, "If you be the Son of God, cast yourself down from here. For it is written," now the devil's trying to quote the Bible, trying to quote the word to the word. "For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time you should dash your foot against a stone." Now, it's true. The Bible says that. It's true. The Bible says that. But look what Jesus said. "It is said," the same thing as saying "it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Amen. You see, that's the same. Well, the Bible said he'd give his angels charge over me. I'm going to just go out and play in the street. No. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now, I want you to notice three times the devil questioned Jesus based on the word of God. He questioned God's word to him. If. But three times Jesus answered him back with, it is written. He used that very word as his weapon to defeat the enemy. And by doing so, he cast down those thoughts, those imaginations, those reasonings that are against the word of God. Those thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. And then it says this, verse 13, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Amen. Now, what does it say? What's he mean a season? Didn't say forever, did he? Why? Because the next time you hear the word of God, guess what? He's going to come back. He's going to try to steal it. But I'm not afraid. We're not afraid of the devil, right? He just reminded him, get back down underneath there. The word of God says, it is written, by Jesus' stripes I am healed. You know, sometimes, you know, if you don't watch yourself, you'll have a pain in your side. And if you just let yourself go, you're planning your funeral. What songs you want sung? Who's going to be the pallbearers? Oh, you got a little pain in your side, you know. Maybe you ate a bad biscuit. I don't know what it was. But you know what I'm saying? If you don't want, but you know, but you got to take control. You've got to start using the word of God. Wait a minute. It is written. By Jesus' stripes, I was healed. If I was, I am. Glory to God. Amen. See those thoughts, those eyes, and very subtle things, little things. Catch yourself. That's why I like 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We don't have time to go there tonight, but it talks about taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Hallelujah. Every thought. Glory to God. Every thought. You know, really, we can't afford to turn our thought catcher off. You don't ever want to turn that off. You want to keep your thought catcher on all the time. You got to watch. You know, sometimes you don't want, you know, I just wondered, you know, everybody that's hollering about the Supreme Court, you know, ruling. Have you turned off Modern Family yet? Or are you still watching that? Oh, that's funny. Okay. See, if you don't watch it, Satan comes to steal the word from you that way. Amen. Glory to God. Why did I end on that? I didn't mean to end on that, but I did anyway. How are we going to protect the word? With the word. That's a great thing. The word has within it the ability to produce the result and to protect you from your enemy. Because it is every part of that armor. Glory to God. So next time the devil starts questioning, you hear something, you know, and man, you start thinking, and you're meditating on the word of God, and the thought comes against that, a thought comes up that's against that, check that thought with the word of God. If it doesn't line up with the word of God, stand up bold and say, no, you don't, devil. It is written. It is written. It is written. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I don't lack for any good thing. Glory to God. Stand up and just declare what the word of God has to say. Amen. Glory to God. Let's all stand on our feet. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you so much for all that you did and accomplished through this last great meeting that was here at Rhema Bible Church, this camp meeting that we had last week, and for all the great revelation and the word that came forth. And we thank you, Father God, that word holds within it the ability to produce fruit in our life, some 30, some 60, some hundredfold. Father, we give you all the praise and glory for it. And Father, we thank you that we can take that word and put it in our mouth as a sharp two-edged sword, and we can defeat the enemy. And that word helps us, Father God. It becomes the shield of faith. It's the breastplate of our righteousness in you, Christ. It is. We put it on our feet as the gospel shoes. Hallelujah. And thank you, Father, we wear it as the helmet of salvation. That word, and that word we pray out your plan and your will in our lives. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the word that is sown in our hearts. We give you glory in Jesus' mighty name. Well, our prayer team's coming right now. As they go ahead and come, I want to invite our connections team to go find our first-time guests that are here tonight. And believe they're going to help them get to that place. We had a couple at least. Amen. Well, don't forget Wednesday night, Hour of Power. Pastor Hagin will be here. So you want to be here for that. I will just let you know because you won't see Mandy and I for a couple weeks. We leave Tuesday. When do we leave? Wednesday. We'll be in Brazil for 2 weeks teaching at three of the different campuses down there. And so we're going to be down there on an important trip down there. Got some business to take care of with our international schools and that type of thing. Is that area that Pastor has me overseeing and for him and being there as I'm able to. And so we'll be there for a couple weeks, but we thank you for that. Praying for us while we're there, and God's good. Amen? All right. If you need prayer for anything, ladies, come on up here and pray with one of these ladies. What are they going to pray with you according to? The Word of God. Men, come on up with our guys. What are they going to pray with you? According to the Word of God. Because why? The Word produces fruit. Isn't that right? Amen. God bless you so much. Have a great night. Shake hands with somebody and let them know you love them before you leave. Amen. You're dismissed.